We're going to talk about tonight the people with the spirit of faith. The people with the spirit of faith, and of course our topic area is faith. And let's read that one more time. Since we have the same spirit of faith, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. Of course, he's quoting David. David wrote the psalm, and he wrote this. And, he quotes that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we were telling our Bible school students last night, you know, when you say something, you need to quote something. At least give two or three other witnesses about what you're saying. You know, I said in school, when I went to school, professors never accepted something unless I have quotations and sources of what I'm saying. I'm not saying out of the top of my head. These are proven things that are already out there, so I'm quoting somebody else. And so that's very often we quote different ministers that are older and seasoned and proven in ministry, and so we quote them. And I know sometimes Brother Hagin says, don't quote what Brother Hagin said. Say what the Bible says. But still, it's okay to do that. It's okay to quote the man of God and someone who said it. They proved that in ministry, and it's working for them. But so it is in scientific areas, in the secular field. Sociologists, they'll quote different, studies that already are working, and the information is valid and empirical and verified. And so we're giving you the same kind of idea. And so Paul here is doing, this is what he's doing. He's quoting the man of God. He's quoting David and in as a source. He's telling us what David said. And David, you know, he had the spirit of faith. And so Paul is telling the church at Corinth that we, the church, you know, the church, the letter written to Corinth is a letter written to all of us in the church. If you read the first section of that scripture, it's talking about to all that be in the faith. And so Paul is saying here that since we have the same spirit of faith, he's saying that you and I, as believers, have this spirit of faith, the same one that Paul had, the same one that the Corinthians had, the same one that David had. And he says, according to as it is written. And when we say something, we have to know what is written. Jesus said, it is written. He quoted the scripture. He quoted the prophets. And so what was written? He says, I believed, therefore I spoke. So when you believe something, it's going to be consistent to your speech. Your heart, should regulate what you speak. Your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And if you listen to yourself closely, if you're honest, you'll know where your faith level is at with anything in life. And, you should fill your spirit with the Word. What you fill your spirit with, what you fill your heart with. That's reading the Word and meditating the Word. And you'll find that this is going to build your spirit, man. And your spirit is going to speak. And so your heart is filled with the Word. Then your mouth will speak out those words. And so it becomes automatic. It becomes part of your life. So let me just say that there's a major difference between those that have a spirit of faith and those without a spirit of faith, or without the spirit of faith. And what does it mean to have a spirit of faith anyway? So how do I recognize if I do or we possess the spirit of faith, or whether or not we don't possess the spirit of faith? Someone once said, you can not only learn the principles of faith, of the spirit of faith, but you can also catch the spirit of faith. You can learn principles by studying the scriptures and reading the Bible and getting that down pat. But also you can catch the spirit of faith simply by getting around people who have that kind of attitude. And they have a certain kind of language. They have a certain kind of, kind of exuberance and some kind of expression about them, their language of their Their body language and the way they carry themselves, there's something about them. They carry a certain attitude. So you catch that from people. Whenever you hang around with someone, you catch the same thing. If you're around certain people, you can notice by watching individuals, if you study people closely. And, what I did in my own life, I just studied different things over the years. I like kind of an amateur psychologist or sociologist to study people. And so when you hang around with certain people, you start to act like them. You start to talk like them. You sound like them. And I know that sometimes, if I'm away a little bit and my wife will say, hey, you must have been hanging around with those people again or somebody. So you catch a certain way of talking about you. So if I'm with the res people, I start acting like I'm back on the res. They have a certain kind of attitude, sometimes good or bad, but they do have it. And so hanging around with certain people who have the spirit of faith, you start acting like them. You'll catch that spirit of faith. You'll catch that confidence of faith. And that's what Paul is saying. That we have. Everybody say, we have. Come on, shout it out. Say, we have. One more time. We have. The same. The same. Spirit of faith. Somebody said one time, well, I don't like that when the pastors tell us to say something. Well, this is how you learn. This is time we practice. This is something you need to learn when you're out there and you're on your sickbed. Or before you ever hit the sickbed, or if you get to the sickbed. Because you already have the attitude, you won't get there. And if you get around with somebody without the spirit of faith, there's a certain thing about them you recognize. Whereas someone who has the spirit of faith, you recognize them. And there is a distinction, a difference, a certain characteristic or ways about them that you can make a determination what they are. And so our motto at our Spirit Life Television across the nation is catching the spirit of faith. I've been watching the Olympics sometimes later than I should. One night was, I think it was almost midnight. One time it was 11:30. And my commercial came on. And I recognized I was making a little sandwich, a small one, a very small one. And I heard, the voice of one of our girls here. Talking about inviting people about catching the spirit of faith. And it was great. I see this on a regular basis. And so if I see it, somebody else sees it. I wasn't looking for it. It just happened. So they gave a certain amount of time on our local television, area here in Thunder Bay, Global Television, and they showed that version of our commercial. So catch the spirit of faith every Sunday morning. And so, amen. Anybody ever seen that besides me? How many of you seen that besides me? There's two people, praise God. Nobody watches television. Everybody watches YouTube. So anyway, there's a number of you have seen that, of course. And our motto is, catching the spirit of faith. That's what we want. We want people to catch that attitude of faith. Amen. By hanging around with us here. And we do that on television. That's the direction that God gave us. The Lord said to go to Tulsa and hang around with Brother Hagin and get under that teaching and let him rub off on you, get into that environment, follow him and get that. And I'll put that same spirit on you that I put on him. And so it's here, praise God, amen. And, I had a number of people phone the other day about asking different things about some person was dying, I guess, in one of our regions of our southern province, and asking about prayer. And I just got home. It was a Sunday morning after service. And, after Sunday service, I got a little attitude. Amen. I'm all fold up and just ready to meet any kind of devil. Praise God, amen. And so anyway, somebody said, hey, You know, I need some prayer, very low, just really low. Start talking. After they start talking to me, he said, I feel good already. You know? Because you get around somebody with a spirit of faith, you start acting like them. They have a certain attitude, a certain confidence about them. They speak a certain way. They have a certain language. They have a certain kind of acting, behavior. And then you see that, and you know, it's not, you know, don't make it up. It's just the way we are. Because it's in you. Whatever is in a feller, Brother Hagin said, that's what's going to come out of him. And so, let's define what it means to have a spirit of faith. Sometimes in defining something, you have to find out what it's not. People who do not have a spirit of faith see themselves as weaker than their problem. People with a spirit of faith see themselves stronger than their problems, with God at their side. And so they believe that they can overcome these problems. When people who lack a spirit of faith hear bad news or any kind of news that's bigger than them or big obstacles they face, immediately they shrink and they say that's too big to overcome. That's the way they feel. Because they see themselves on their own. They don't see themselves with God, in God. Brother Hagin used to always say, see yourself in Christ, see yourself in God. You know, we did a series of messages that God is for you. And He's all over you. Amen. When you walk, He's there with you. You take God with you wherever you go. And, you know, I begin to recognize and say, you know, eternal life is in me. Hallelujah. Eternal life is in me. I don't find out when I die. I know now, praise God. Amen? So, they say it's too big. If you think like that, if you think that way, you know you don't possess the spirit of faith. If you think everything's too big and too insurmountable, too wide or whatever, you don't have that spirit of faith. You need to possess it. People who lack the spirit of faith see themselves as victims, not victors, overcomers. You know, you see, I remember one time Wigglesworth tells a story about some guy writing a letter, or some people writing a letter, come see this guy, he's possessed with devils, he's over here. And so he traveled to that place, and he knocked on the door of that address, and he went in there, and somebody came on the door, and he said, where's that fellow? Oh, he's over here in the back room. We kind of put him in there because he's dangerous. He looks dangerous, too. You know, the devil wants to look bigger than he is. So he goes in there, the door's open, and you know, can you imagine the door opening and the guy's full of demons and he walks in there and the spirit spoke out of that man and said, you can't cast me out. That's what they say usually. But he says, yeah, but Jesus can. So you have to see yourself in Him. Amen? And that takes time to develop that attitude. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to develop. You have to meditate on who you are. When you look in the mirror, you got to say, God is in that man. God is in that woman. And wherever I go, He goes. And you're not doing anything on your own. So, some may say, the people without the spirit of faith, yeah, you don't know about my people. My peeps. Yeah, that's what they say today. My peeps. You don't know about my people. And all the problems we have. All the problems we have to face. And all what we've been through. I'm just carrying it all the problems. Just trying to get along. Trying to go along. No, you're not carrying nothing if you're with God. You don't have to carry your ancestor problems. You don't have to carry your kids' problems. Jesus said, Cast your cares upon me. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, burdened. I'll give you more problems. No, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? Yoke is the teaching. It's the word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's what we want. We want to learn how to rest. So, you have to understand who's your people. You know, as I mentioned, you catch the spirit of faith from people. And you have to understand who's your people, who you've been hanging around with. You catch something. Somebody said, you might catch COVID. Well, we don't catch that. Hallelujah. Praise God. we have to learn. Amen? The Bible says, Psalm 91 says, what does it say, Psalm 91? It says, what does it say? Remember the Psalm 91? Do you remember it? I know that Monique knows it pretty good, because she always tells me about Psalm 91 whenever I need it, you know. He said, let's put it up there. I want to show the three verses of the scripture so that we can have the spirit of faith. Right? I don't know which version we want. What kind of version do you want? French version? Ojibwe? What do you want? Yeah? New King James. What does it say? He who dwells, not just visits once in a while, but he who dwells, who lives? He who dwells in the secret place. And people say, oh, the secret place. Oh. Only certain people can go there. Those that are very spiritual, they can go there. And if you pray long hours and sweat. No, you just go right in. Jesus said, come on in. He said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that's God, shall abide. You're living there. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody was singing, their brother Higgin was mad. He said this one pastor, he kept singing, this one song leader, he kept singing songs of unbelief. And he said, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He said, you got to stop singing that song, they told him. But no, he sang it again every service. Pastor pulled him aside and said, listen, you got to stop singing that song. There's a bunch of unbelief there. It's a nice tune, all right. You could feed somebody a little bit of poison, but just put some little bit of sugar on it. Right? And so he says, somewhere in the shadow you find Jesus. Well, wherever Jesus is, there's no shadow. No? But, this was talking about something different than the shadow itself. But, he shall abide under the shadow, or at least underneath the Lord. He's your protection. He puts a canopy over you. When you go into Jesus, he put a canopy over you, and the devil can't find you. That's why in 1 Peter 5, it says the devil is looking for you, but he can't find you. You're in the secret place. Amen. The blood has covered you. Verse number 2, folks. I will say of the Lord. Now, this is your confession. See, Psalm 91 doesn't work for you unless you say these things. That's the spirit of faith. You have to say what the Bible says about you. Now, you say, I feel weak. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Yeah, but I don't have any money. That has nothing to do with what you got. It has to do with what God says you have in Christ. So a lot of times, I listen to Brother Higgin, I study him, and he says, when I didn't have two dimes in my pocket, I say that I'm all sufficient, have all I need in Jesus. I'm well supplied. How you doing, Brother Higgin? He said, I'm well supplied. He said, I didn't have a dime in my pocket. Two dimes to rub together. I didn't have one to actually rub in my hands. My tires are bald. They're talking to me every night as I drive down the road. They say, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? They're driving down the road. What are you going to do now? One tire starts going, the other tire starts going. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Third tire, fourth tire, what are you going to do? Why? And all of a sudden, they're all talking to you. Well, I'm going to say what the Lord says. Amen? What I'm going to say, I'm going to say that He's my refuge. That's what you're going to say. Jesus, God's your refuge. I see other scriptures that say the same thing, you know. The Lord is my refuge. He's my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Verse number 3. Surely He shall deliver you or me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. Let's go ahead and read it. This is going good. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. That's the word of God. Amen. Look at some more. We need to say verse 6. Ta-da! Verse 6. You shall not be afraid of the terror. I'll preach on this for a while again. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. I mean, you know, hey, listen, we need to make this confession. Read it in another version, you'll see what it's talking about. Praise God. So, you know, so the Lord is my shepherd, you know, I shall not want. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say, I shall not lack for one thing, naturally and spiritually. So you have to figure that out a little bit. Whatever natural you have, whatever you're lacking, you say, thank God, I don't lack for money. I don't lack for tires. And your tires are bald. And we need to say those things. Praise God. So, you know, you don't have to. We don't have to live by everything we feel and see. If you do that, you go crazy. No wonder people go crazy. Because they just think that everything they see, that's it. There's something here. There's someone in here. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's here. And He's ready to do miraculous. He's not only here, but He's inside you. And He's waiting for you to speak. Hallelujah. Amen? And things start breaking out all everywhere. So you better let God define who you are and what you have. The spirit of faith, people have let it be known that God is the provider and that He is the one that's working in them. I was praying for somebody yesterday. You know, I told them, for it is God who works in you, who wills Him to do His good pleasure. Some versions say it's God, He's working in you, through you, with His ability. Giving you the ability to do the things that you don't want to do. Sometimes we don't want to make confessions. You know, so we make confessions. Let's read Mark chapter 3, verse 31-35. Kelsey. Hallelujah. Do we have it? Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 3, verse 31-35. Chapter 1, verse 31-35. Mark chapter 3, verse 31-35. I think we get stuck, Kelsey. Press another button. Hallelujah. 31-35. Are we there? Yeah, we're there. Then Jesus' mother, everybody say Jesus' mother. Well, Jesus had a mother too. And his brothers came to see him. They stood outside and sent word for him to come out and talk with them. That ever happened to you? You're at somebody's house, they say, yeah, oh, your dad's outside, your mom's outside. They have a big stick. They don't look happy. They lure you out sometimes. He's going to give you something. And you didn't know he's going to beat you. Okay, watch this. Forget I said that. Verse 32. There was a crowd sitting around. Everybody say crowd sitting around. Just like tonight, there's a crowd sitting around here, right? Waiting for something to happen. Okay. Well, someone said, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you. Verse 33. Jesus replied, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? I wonder how he said it, though, eh? Who is my mother? You think about Jesus doing acting like that? I think about that. Brother Higgins said when Jesus appeared to him, he said, you know, he said, you better lay hands on people. Or else. You better lay hands on people. He said, listen, I didn't tell you lay your foot on anybody. I said, lay hands on. He said, you know, Jesus jokes with people. A lot of people think he never jokes. No, Jesus jokes. He tells jokes. He likes to have fun. Like people come to church, you know. Oh, Jesus, you know, he's coming. You better get serious. Okay. Who's my mother? Who's my brother? Who's my family? So next time you read that, you'll be thinking about it. Right? Verse 34. Then he looked around. I like these, you know, these. I think, you know, Mr. Editor, we need to have some of this, like, sounds when we do TV. What is that, sign effects? Sound effects? Yeah. Okay. He looked around about him and said, look, these are my mother, my brothers. Anyone who does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. What's he saying? This is your kind of people. We're talking about who's the people you hang around with. You say, you don't know where I come from. You don't know. I was talking about somebody the other day. He told me, oh, I got this problem. I got that problem. I'm living on the side of the road now. I said, I heard this before. I've been on that road. I know you could come out of it. Amen? So we can come out. We've been on all kinds of roads in here. Some of you were on the cheap road. You never gave anybody a dime before you come to church. They tell you have to do something, you know. I was thinking about Keith Green this morning. My wife and I were listening to Keith Green, and he said, you know, to tithe 10%, you know. He's like crying. Because he has to give 10%. Well, give 20 then. He said, you can give more if you don't want to. You don't have to give 10 and give more. Amen? So, anyway, well, what does your people look like? There might be a certain kind of, you know, class of people. There could be a certain race of people. There could be, a certain kind of economic range of people and certain geographical location, certain race of people. But that's all natural. Sometimes we identify too much with the natural part. You know, when I got saved, I got born again, let everybody know, oh, yeah, I'm First Nation. You know, I'm very special. Well, of course, we're all special to God, right? I realize, you know, we're all special to God. But I realize that, you know, spiritually, our inheritance is the most important thing about you. Your most important culture should be your spiritual culture. Not that you have to get rid of that. I thank God for my, you know, dancing, and I like that, all the stuff that we do. And we go to powwows, and we dance, and we dance unto the Lord. You know, amen? And we do everything unto the Lord. Thank God. You don't have to throw everything out because you got born again. Amen? We're you know, we have certain things that we, you know, I mean, Pastor Ken, I don't know about you, throw out all the cabbage rolls that your mom made? I mean, he's enjoying that. That's part of his culture. I enjoy that once in a while with him. Sometimes your mom brings me this nice big borscht, just purple food. And that just, it's beautiful. I can't wait to get some of that again. I mean, there's a certain way we eat and so on, and we don't throw it up because we're born again. I'm born again now. I can't eat that. No, we eat it all. So you know, we don't really care the exterior or natural position of people. We care about the significance of what's inside you. Your spirit. He says you have the same spirit of faith. I was reading, I was talking about one lady here. One of our ladies, you know, she's one of our school. And she's wondering why someone was treating her real mean and found out that, you know, and working. Just because she's black. And they didn't treat her right. She didn't understand why she's working, you know, and people were mean to her, and finally come to realize this lady was a racist who was after her. But God's interested in what's inside you. I'm interested in what's in your pocket. No. No, we're interested in what's inside your heart. Right? So on the inside of us spiritually, we are, what are we like? Jesus said, we are those kinds of people who do the will of God from the heart. This is what is important in your life, is if you got to find out, people that are born again, that are following the things of God, they want to follow the will of God. And so when we say we are the spirit, we are the people with the spirit of faith. We, you know, faith is a currency that brings everything together in the spiritual realm. And so faith is the key of getting what we need or what we desire from God or from God's word. So it's God's word that determines who we are, what we have, and what we can do. And so without having the knowledge of that, it's hard to have a spirit of faith. It's impossible to have a spirit of faith. If you get anything from God, we have to use our faith in His promises. If we don't know His word, then we can't obtain anything. The language of faith says, yes, I have it now, not someday I'm going to have it. So you got to have this before you get sick. You got to have this before you spend your last check. And you have to say it right now, whether you're sick, you could have sickness right now. You could be broke as anything else. Right now, you got to say, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, I'm rich. You might be just down in the dump and say, no, thank God, I have the joy of the Lord. And say what the Bible says. Read the Bible, get it inside you, and say what it says. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. In other words, the spirit of faith has a certain language. So you recognize the spirit of faith. With the spirit of faith, they have a certain language. They talk a certain way. Right? You know your people that you hang around with. If you hang around with them, they have certain people talk certain languages a certain way. They have idioms or whatever. If you hang around with intellectuals, you'll start talking like one. Scholars, or if you're, you know, go down to, if you listen to rap music, you start talking a certain way. And even your messages on Facebook, you're talking like, yo. You say, yo, yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. Yo. Hey, bro. What's up? I mean, you talk a certain way, right? I mean, it's cool. It's like ghetto language. Broken up language, and it's cool, man. Everybody wants to be like ghetto language-wise, and their pants falls right down. And you know, I don't want to emulate them walking like that right now, but people say, so faith has a certain language. Faith has a certain understanding. The people with the people of faith, they have a certain understanding. So if you understand something, if you understand, If you understand the Bible, what's in the Bible, you start talking different. In fact, you seem strange to people because you say, you're saying that? Right? They think you're nuts. So you have to kind of almost like, shift yourself to somewhere else because you'll kill them. They blow their sockets off. Faith has a certain voice. Doesn't sound like, No, you say, ooh, praise God. Ooh. Even stick your tongue out once in a while. Right? Eh? Yeah? When you speak, people of faith are like that, eh? Ooh. You got a certain language, a certain kind of, Well, faith comes by hearing, really. You hear something, what God's word says, and you get a certain message. And then you start acting according. As we mentioned, the currency of God's kingdom is faith. So if you want anything, you got to act in faith. You got to act like I got it, praise God. How you doing? I'm doing fine. Yeah. So, faith, the people with the spirit of faith, they bring the unseen into this world. They manifest those things, those promises, by speaking. Faith languages, the language of faith can make an exchange when there's nothing into something. It brings it into existence not because we're, I have a trickery about doing it. You don't do this at home by yourself. No, it's because everybody knows that the Bible says it. It says you all can do it if you, with a little practice and feeding on the Word of God. Then you say this is going to happen to you. Somebody yesterday with my wife said this, hey, this faith thing works. I said this for a while. Now I have it. It really works. And so they're all happy because of it. We say, oh, yeah, it works, all right, yeah. So we as a church, we possess that same spirit of faith. We believe. And therefore, because we believe, we say what we believe. Just like what Jesus said. Whatever you believe, you say, you have what you say. So, God is no respecter of persons. If we begin to act on the Word and begin to, put our focus on the Word and begin to say those things, it begins to come and manifest in our lives. So, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 in the Message Bible here. Actually, let's read here. Something like this. Here's what people sometimes struggle with. Because they are not developed in their mind. They haven't renewed their mind in God's Word and thinking like what God says. And so they start talking about how they feel rather than what the Bible says. So they make mistakes as Christians. And we all make mistakes. And you have to forgive yourself. You got to walk in forgiveness, even to yourself. Right coming before church, you're all spiritual, and your wife said something, started manifesting and everything. Then you come into church going, yeah? Walking with your wife to the front. Just before that, you go, but, it happens. You have a fight. And so I learned, we can just have a big fight and just say, ooh, hallelujah. I don't feel a thing after. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You say, forget about it. They say, I don't know if this is true. I've never tested out, but sometimes I know it works or doesn't work or true. Now, you can say this. I'm even have a hard time to say it. They say that women have a harder time to let things slide than a man. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I told you before that because I heard somebody say that before. Like women say, oh, you know, I don't know if this is not, probably not true, but people say this. Because women seem to be more emotional than men. Men are just more intellectual. They're stupid, dumb all sometimes. Women. Better memory, yeah? I'm going to get it tonight, I know that. I'll come back Sunday morning going, well, I can't walk straight. Yeah? So I'm talking about this. So it says here, 2 Corinthians 5, 20, 21 says this. For he had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So right now, regardless of what happened this week, I don't care what you did, rob a bank, I don't know what you did. You're righteous right now, not because of what you did or didn't do. Right that second, you are righteous. Yeah, but I've sinned, I've said this, I thought this way. No, I'm not talking about what your mind did. See, your body and your mind is not really you. You have to do something with your body and your mind. So this is part of you. I mean, it's not redeemed yet. We're redeemed spiritually. We have a brand new spirit. We're a new spirit. So right now, because what happens is this. Because you know you have a spirit of faith. And sometimes people just go on emotion. Oh, I felt bad. I just feel so bad. I'm really bad. I made this mistake. No, listen. Let's get off this and see what the Bible says. You're forgiven. You know God forgives? Yeah. You confess it? Yeah. Okay, the Bible says he confesses you and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. And you don't have to wait and cry here. Get at the front and just... pounding the, you know. No, right now you are, and it takes some time to develop that kind of spirit to say, yes, I'm forgiven. I know I made a mistake, but I'm forgiven. And just be fine with it. Fine with it. Not that you're going to go out and do it again. It's just that you're okay with yourself now. And you don't let the devil condemn you because what you did yesterday or this morning or 5 minutes ago or last week, that it's all under the blood now. You have the same spirit of faith. And now because you think that way, you can say, I have all I need. I believe I'm good with God. You know, but the devil says when you make mistakes and he's running after you, say, are you good? You good? You good? You good, bro? Bro, you good? You good? You good? You say, yeah, I'm right. I'm good. So we're okay. And here's something about it, and we're going to look at that another time. So the people who came across, who were redeemed from Egypt and Pharaoh's power, Moses came across and they went through the Red Sea. Red Sea, you know, is like they came through the Red Sea. It's like coming through, getting washed into the blood of Jesus. Coming through. Now they're on the other side. Jesus said, I'm your healer. The first thing he says to come across, I'm your healer. I'm the Lord that heals you. And he healed everyone just before they left. And they have all the, you know, they started eating the lamb and everything. They got all cleansed up and went. And they were out healed. Oh, man, I got my legs back. I got my hands back. Woo! Money in my pocket. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! So I was always wondering about that because they said these guys were so poor. And all of a sudden, they're in the desert with lots of money. So we were reading that the other night about Moses comes down from the mountain. His brother was like, you know, with the... with the... with the Israelites. He's there. He's there. He comes down. He comes down because he heard all this commotion going on. They said there's war down there. Moses said, there's no war. Joshua said, there's a party. There's a war down there. Or there's a war down there. He said, no, there's no war down there. He said, there's a party going on. They're reveling. And before that, before there was reveling, he says, okay, everybody, give me your, earrings, nose rings, whatever you got, bring them in. He said, I threw them into the fire, and out comes this big calf. He said, what a stupid liar. Right? And I'm thinking about, okay, so how did that ever happen? Some of you make lousy liars. God tells you about something, you try to lie to him, and said, I don't know how this happened. We were watching this this little thing on Facebook, and this little girl, she's there, her dad comes in, and she's full of this makeup and red and everything else, and the dad says, where'd you get the lipstick? I bought it. He said, what is that? He said, my yiptick, or something like that, right? My yippick. She said, my yippick. Where'd you get it from? Home Depot. Just a little girl. And she's lying. So that's how you are sometimes with God. But you see, okay, I'm going to end this. Okay, so like, there's so much more to talk about in there. My Lord Jesus. So these people, the Israelites, some of them didn't have a spirit of faith and some of them did. The Bible says that Caleb and Joshua had a spirit of faith. What did they do? They said, yeah, we can do this. There's no problem. So no matter what problem you have today, you know, you can do it with God. Like, it might not be, it's impossible for you. But with God, all things are possible. You could say yes. And I was telling my wife the other day, we were just confessing things. And you know what? There's things happening that we've been struggling with for so long. Things kept popping up all day long today. Because of confession. And it didn't look good. If you start confessing and start acting like who you are, not what the world tells you who you are and what you ought to be, just say, here's what the Bible says about me. I'm righteous. I'm healed. Don't wait to be sick to confess you're healed. Confess you're healed right now before you ever get sick. Confess you're rich before you ever need money. Confess you're happy when you're not happy. Confess it. Say, man, thank God. Just say, I have so many friends, I don't know what to do anymore. Amen? Oh, I got so much things to do. Hallelujah. Everybody stand up. Thank you, Lord God. You have a spirit of faith. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen? Come on, say it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's say hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, say glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. My sound system went crazy. Couldn't take it. But Lord, we want to thank you right now that we are righteous. That we have all that we need. So faith takes what's in heaven or what's in the Word of God and brings it out here where we're needed. So we thank you, Lord, that we're not people that are depressed. We're not afraid of tomorrow or yesterday or anything. We thank you that we're full of faith. We're full of this Holy Spirit. We thank you for the supernatural power of God. The supernatural is just as real, more real than it is what we are right now. We thank you, Lord God. We pray for our neighbors and friends. We pray over them. We cover them with the blood of Jesus and our families too. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is working right now. You're performing that good, what you said in your word. We thank you, Lord God. And we give you our hearts. We give you our lives again. Lord God, we turn over to you. We say, Lord, have your way with my life. I give you my heart. Give you my life. Glory to God. It's not, you know, you need to do this. Just say this to yourself. Say, Lord, I'm yours. You can do whatever. Don't wait till you feel good. Say it regularly. Lord, I belong to you. I'm a child of God. I'm following you. I'll follow you for the rest of my life. We thank you. There's nothing that comes my way that I'm going to be surprised, because God has it already handed. The Bible says that people who believe do not fear bad news, because they believe God has taken care of them. So we will not fear. We will not fear any bad news. The Bible says in Psalm 23, I shall not fear. No evil thing, no weapon formed against me, any plan that the devil has against me will not prosper, will not succeed. I confess that in the name of Jesus. That everything I do, Psalm 28 says that everything I do, that there's no death or destruction in my life, that there's life on this highway I'm walking. We give you praise. We thank you for your promises. They will never fail. In the name of Jesus. Say, I am delivered. I am healed. I am loved. I am wanted. I have a purpose. There's a plan in my life. I thank you, Lord, for that perfect plan that I am in right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.